Take your Bibles, please. Go to Acts chapter 4 at the very end there. I want to follow up with something I started on Thursday of last week, kind of a teaching, I don't know, I think the beginning of a small series, just kind of going through the book of Acts. And we covered that record of Peter and John healing the lame man at the temple gate. Really miraculous, wonderful record about two gentlemen who just basically received the gift of Holy Spirit not too many days before that. And here they were on the way to pray. They were going to the temple. And they walked right by this lame man, crippled from birth. He was being carried every day to the temple gate. And he was looking for something. And they didn't have the financial gifts that he possibly was looking for, but they did have a spiritual power that they gave to him and healed him on that particular day. And man, it caused no small stir. And you can read that record. We went over it in pretty great detail on Thursday evening. But I wanted to pick up the record at the very end of Acts chapter 4 when they had repeated, when they had gone back to the believers and kind of reported their testimony of what had happened. And in verse 31, it says, "And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." Then verse 32, "And all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy of persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money of the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." I'm reading from the New International Version. Quite an interesting record. Power of God released, believers being together, fellowshipping together, like in Acts chapter 2, it says they were going from house to house, they were praying together, they were praising together, God was adding to the church daily, such as should be saved, right? Mm-hmm. They broke bread together, they ate together, boy, they were just together, and then this incredible record, the believers were of one heart, one mind, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, boy, that was it. That was something. That's not today's world, is it? Because everybody is very concerned about their stuff and what they own, and it does belong to them. I'll tell you, a number of years ago, I think we did a great experiment in the application of this particular scripture. When we came to San Diego in 1982, we lived with Ron and Jan Booz.
Wow.
And what we chose to do in our WOW family was to consolidate all the finances that were made, any income, bonus sharing, income that people made from their work. We had one checking account. All the funds went into that account. All four names were on it. It made no difference if you made $50 a week or $500 a week. And there was some discrepancy in terms of what people made because people had different education and skill levels and backgrounds. But you know what? We consolidated it all. And it was kind of it was a very cool thing that we did. And it reminds me of this particular verse. We were just of one heart, one soul, one mind. It wasn't like we were competing for possessions. We shared everything that we had. And boy, we were able to witness the word and live that lifestyle that I think is presented in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. You know, our ministry is called Acts Now Fellowship. And I think it's with a great prayerful desire that we continue to imitate, and I think it's just the Spirit of God working within people, that binds those people together to live the mystery and to not be so materialistically minded. Because, boy, we sure live in a world with a lot of influences that would kind of force us into that way of thinking. But boy, that the believers then had a different way of thinking, man. A believer, they were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. And guess what? With great power, the apostles continued. They testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That was one of the greatest things they preached in the first century, the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know, anytime you speak in tongues, that's proof in the senses world that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that we receive now the Spirit. What is that Spirit? It's the Comforter. It's the promise of the Father. It's Christ who has come to live with the believer. It is the Holy Spirit. It is we're now partakers of the divine nature. Boy, there was no needy persons among them. And from time to time, those who owned lands or houses, when they sold them, they brought the money from the sales and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And they were entrusting those gentlemen to have those funds distributed according to as anyone had a need. It's been probably a long time since anything like that has happened. And occasionally we do hear of it. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, that's incredible. Because everybody's just so concerned about their stuff. And it's really maybe taken the heart of, you know, just giving pluralities freely. Yeah. Well, I want to go over to, and then there's this record of Ananias and Sapphira, which you can read on your own. Really interesting record about some people who I think put up a nice front and then, you know, had some serious guilt. Probably leaders in the church who were kind of making a show of, you know, their big, you know, desire to give and all that, but then came to light that they were knowledgeable and willingly holding back, but fronting as if they were giving it all. And, you know, the consequences were relatively serious, I'd say, in that situation. You can read about it in Acts chapter 5, but I want to start in verse 12 of Acts chapter 5. It says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colony. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more people believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and occasionally one of them got healed. Yeah. You know, this is unbelievable, really, when you kind of read it. It says, every one of those people, crowds gathered, and they brought their sick and those who were tormented by spirits, and how many?
All.
A-L-L. All of them were healed. Now that's quite a vision. Mm-hmm. Quite a vision. Well, this stirred up a little bit of jealousy amongst the religious crowd. Verse 17, the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. I don't know what the King James or other versions say.
Indignation.
That means jealousy. Mm-hmm. And they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out and said, and I know in the King James it says, go stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Verse 20 of the New International Version says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. Here they were, speaking the word, seeing great power. That verse 12 says the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders amongst the people. And this got the religious hierarchy pretty worked up. Mm-hmm. They were jealous because they saw all the people beginning to go towards these people who had been with Jesus, following Jesus. And then this really cool, miraculous thing happened. They arrested him. They put him in the jail. But during the night, here comes an angel. He opens the doors of the jail. And what's he tell him? You know, run for the hills. No, he says, Go stand in the temple and speak the words. Tell the people the full message of the life. And verse 21, at daybreak they entered the temple courts, and as they had been told, told by whom? The angel, who basically was delivering a message from God. God's got to get out there and continue to speak the word. They entered the temple courts, and as they had been told, began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with a guard standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Well, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. And then they brought the apostles, and they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Hey, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood, and we don't like it. Peter and the other apostles, verse 29, said, you know what? We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Well, when they heard this, they were furious, and they wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up at the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. And he addressed them and said, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be someone about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and all his followers were dispersed. It all came to nothing. And after him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it was from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Verse 40, his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in. They couldn't just let him go, so they had him beaten. They had him flogged. And they, once again, ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. Well, this name of Jesus keeps coming up over and over and over again, right here in these first few chapters. And in verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Verse 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. And that is the same message that you and I have been ordained to proclaim. Second Corinthians chapter 5, God has given us this ministry. We are ambassadors, right? Love that teaching. We are an ambassador. An ambassador is somebody who's proud to be a representative of that which he's representing, right? We are ambassadors. We have a message of love and grace. all those things that God has done for us in Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for God has made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is no person anywhere, any place who does not need this message. That we have been reconciled to God. God is not showing and watching, recording our lives and then is going to play it back and show us all the places where we've blown it and then condemn us for it. If anything, God is trying to get us to quit condemning ourselves for the things that we've done and simply believe the truth that Christ has paid the perfect price for our redemption and, as a corresponding benefit, righteousness. We are right with God. We are right with God. You are right with God. I have been delivered from the power of sin and darkness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is the one thing that upset these guys so much in the first century, that these guys were walking with power. They were walking with boldness. They were proclaiming the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and what he had done for man, and that great power was evident as a result. Remember in Mark 16 it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, you shall heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out lepers, freely you have received, freely give. All we have to do is put ourselves in an environment with a willing heart and an attitude of expectation, and God will open the doors for us to proclaim the gospel and to witness Acts now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gospel of good news. Woo, Father, lead us down that path where we have opportunities to get our minds and hearts off ourselves and just to speak and proclaim boldly the message of liberty and freedom we have in Christ, and just watch you work, Father, in the hearts and lives of people, and that we're not going to back down. We're not going to stop. We're going to pray for more boldness to speak your word, Father. No matter what the intimidation of this world may say, no matter how we feel, no matter what the economy is, what the circumstances may try to force us to believe, that we can just hold fast because we know you are faithful, Lord. And we thank you for your goodness, your grace and mercy, in the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus.